I'm Jessica Williams from The Lens, and this is the District 4 Orleans Parish School Board candidate forum. The Lens is teaming up with WWNO-FM to conduct these candidate forums, one for each district, to allow candidates the chance to express their views on education and to talk with each other. In this district, we have Lourdes Moran, a civic activist and grandmother to a child in the public schools, and Leslie Ellison, a CEO of an education consulting company and former charter board president. Ms. Ellison declined to be with us today after we could not come to an agreement on the terms of the interview. But we do have Ms. Moran here, and I'm going to go ahead and get into the very first question just to speed things along. And the first question is set around governance. I want to know what you think the school board's primary function should be, to run schools, to support charters, both?
Actually, I'd like for the Orleans Parish school system itself to be more of a resource center and more customer-friendly, customer service-friendly. As far as running schools, you know, we currently run six schools, as you well know. And while we're doing well, I think we could do better. And I believe that a lot of our charters have the wherewithal and ability to provide a quality education for our children locally. So why take that away, you know? I think, if anything, we need to expand those qualities that do work.
Name some of the ways that the Orleans Parish School Board has done well in the last 4 years since you've been on the board.
Academically, the whole district has improved. We're fifth in the state. The cohort rate has improved, which for a lot of people that don't understand that is tracking of children from elementary all the way through graduation and ensuring that they do walk across the stage. I believe that the data has been released that there are more children that qualify for TOPS. That's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not just about graduation rates, because you can graduate, but there are kids that might not qualify for TOPS. So in my opinion, we still haven't crossed that, you know, we haven't achieved that level. Financially, when I joined the school system, we were in the red. We were also under investigation for spending of $70 million of title funding. All that has been resolved. We moved forward and attempted at getting a bond rating for the first time in the history of the school system, and we accomplished that. I personally went to Texas and spoke to Moody's and Standards and Poor. We have policies that were completely revamped. I mean, we had district policies that were even, you know, contradicted each other. All that was thrown out, and we started anew. We actually put into place work that the school system had paid for in prior years, where we've lobbied extensively in legislation to put us in line with other school systems in the state of Louisiana. So, you know, I personally have been extremely active in the background and in Baton Rouge and cultivating relationships as we move forward.
And I mentioned 4 years, but you've actually been on the board for 8 years, have you not?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And just getting back to, I guess, the governance, and I want to get around to board structure. Do you think that all board members should continue to be elected, or do you think that some should be appointed? And why, you know, why either way?
Okay. I really do believe in the elected process. It's a democratic process that we have an informed community here. New Orleans does not lack for information. And I believe that the voters can decide and did decide, in my case, almost eight years ago, that they wanted change. And so it reflected in the fact that not only was I elected, but I was reelected. And I hope to be elected for a third term. The appointed piece, the question there is really who makes those appointments and to whom they would answer, as opposed to the elected process, because we have to answer to the voter.
Okay. Let's talk about the charter school movement. What would you say have been some of charter school strengths in New Orleans? You know, what have they been able to do that, you know, hasn't been done before, if anything?
Well, site-based decisions is at the heart of this, and how to actually spend their their dollars and provide the necessary resources for children, be supportive through professional development of the educators, without having to come to OPSB or OPSB handing down decisions that they might not be on the same page with. I don't want to say in line because we all have to do the Louisiana curriculum. Mm-hmm. But I think that's at the heart of the site-based decisions. And actually, they get a more hands-on approach to the point where I feel that they can actually meet the child as opposed to the child having to, you know, or the child having to come up. I don't know how to really explain it over radio, but it's very child-minded.
Okay. And what would you say have been some of the charter school movement's weaknesses?
The transparency issues. I really feel that they are not as transparent in some of these site-based decisions with their parents, or the fact that they're not participating in a universal enrollment, that process is not as transparent either. And we as parents, in particular in charter movement, charter means that you're a part of a large community that is your neighborhood, your school, and your faculty, okay? And so there's a component, in my opinion, that's still not exercised, and that is the parental component. Because we as parents, I don't see that we as parents are provided enough information to understand that we have a voice in this and that we should be more of a participant in some of these decisions.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned parents, because my actual next question was going to be the structure of the boards of some of these charter schools. Do you think that, you know, there is more, or there needs to be more of a parent voice on charter school boards, and how would you advise charter schools to go about making that happen?
I do. I also serve on the NOCA board, and the NOCA board has a specific place for a parent representative. And I think all boards should have that component. I don't believe that any board should be so structured that all you have are professionals. And in particular, you know, how about having some parents with kids in the system? That would be really key. So I'm all about that.
How can the Orleans Parish School Board help some of the charter schools with some of the weaknesses that you mentioned as far as transparency? You know, do you see Orleans Parish School Board holding these schools accountable, and in what way? Or maybe what ways have you guys already done that in your time on the board?
Well, yes. I personally feel that their meetings need to be, I understand the letter of the law and that they do post at the door, but, you know, tell us what door that is. Mm-hmm. What building? Tell us a little bit more about what you're talking about in your agendas. Talk about the procurement process, because you're supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to be following state law. Mm-hmm. So it can't be so generic so that it does not attract individuals to participate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At the end of the day, why are you running for another term?
Well, there have been a lot of progresses in, you know, the first 4 years because of Katrina, we were pretty much in recovery and making sure that schools got, you know, were opened and that our population was back and creating the landscape that we currently have, you know, being a part of that. The last 4 years are continued fiscal peace and making sure that we had, steady ship. You know, I personally have put a lot of time into this, and I'd like to go a little bit further in seeing some more projects that we have in line, seeing the outcome of some of the master plan projects, the selection of the superintendent, the unification of a bifurcated system to ensure that we do become that resource manager and that customer-friendly entity that is available to all public students.
So at the last Cowan Forum, and I have to bring it up, you mentioned something about how you wish the board could be allowed to talk about things before meeting, just so everyone could be on the same page. Could you elaborate on that? Because I know in our conversations that we've had, you know, you've always seemed to be a very strong, you know, proponent of open meetings law and, you know, just making sure that the board was following all of the tenets of that. Just, you know, talk more about what you meant in that instance, if you don't mind.
I don't. You know, when I served as president on the board, you learn how to understand your colleagues on the board, and you reach out to those that can help you with possibly other board members without polling, because you have to be very careful. It's a fine line. And so you have to establish relationships with your fellow board members and understand and take the time to engage them in a conversation so that you can have a more or less an idea of readiness on any particular issues. Because, unfortunately, we don't always agree on everything. And when you're on, you know, on a stage, on film, it comes across as a racial dissension when it really is not. It's about key issues. One, for example, that you've experienced is the question between the charter director office and the DBE office. And it's, while I did not articulate it at the meeting, the issue isn't about the individuals. It's about one expense is just that. It's an expense. The other office generates revenues by, you know, having or establishing a rapport with our charter operators who have the ability to make the decision whether they want to come back under OPSB. That office also is responsible for applying for grant funding that would benefit all schools, not just charter schools. And so it's more of a revenue-generating office.
And just to provide some background on what Ms. Moran is talking about, you know, earlier in the year at an Orleans Parish School Board meeting, there was dissension among board members on, you know, whether the charter school office or the disadvantaged business enterprise program office should be getting, you know, a more equal amount of funding. You know, why was the charter school board office getting more than the DBE program? That was brought up by two board members, and it created sort of a rift between board members. And that's what she's referencing right now. Speaking of racial tensions, though, it's just been, you know, throughout this year, especially that I've noticed just in my covering of the school board, that a lot of decisions, when there is a disagreement, the race factor is often brought up. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's true, or do you think there's any, you know, you mentioned earlier, you think it's less about race and more about policy? I mean,
it's more about policy and issues. It's not, you know, it's a shame because you see, you know, you have two African-Americans. Myself as a Hispanic, and you have four Anglos. And it's very interesting how we're seen. But it really, and it's unfortunate. But I think if we were able to delve more into what the argument really is about, and like I said at that forum, talk about it in advance of the meeting so it does not come across that way, I think we would find we would have the ability to compromise.
And you say how it's seen. Do you think that people, when they're seeing those meetings, assume that you would be also considered an Anglo-American? Or what do you mean how it's seen?
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm not understanding that. because and even with Mr. Bonin, you know, because he is Anglo, but mm-hmm. he's voting with the two African-Americans. I mean, so I'm not. You know, when that conversation comes up, it's very interesting how, you know, what people are, I guess, visualizing mentally, because it's not there.
Mm-hmm. And this, I mean, it just seems like this has come up, you know, within the last year. I mean, it seemed like before, and I, you know, I haven't been around forever, but it just, I've noticed how you guys were in the last 4 years you've been in office. You seem to be on agreement in most things. I mean,
yes, for the first 3 years, we're unanimous mm-hmm. in every decision. Mm-hmm. You know, this year has been a little bit more turbulent. And it's a shame because, that gets lost in all of our progress. I don't believe that this board really deserves to be just categorized as being racially divided.
Do you think that because there's been a lot of strife this year that it hurts or it you know, serves further to bring up that image of the Orleans Parish School Board as divided, as, you know, not in the best interest of kids? I mean, you mentioned that to me at a meeting one time, that, you know, it kind of erodes the image that you guys have built up.
It does. And that's a shame, because every decision that we have really for it has benefited children, and we're about kids. I mean, it's always about the children first. And it's really funny, because when I first ran for the office, I couldn't even say that phrase, because the system was not behaving in the best interest of kids. But I believe that has changed over the course of 8 years. And it's very hurtful to know that that's all that's being taken from all the accomplishments that we've made.
I'll give you a chance to give your closing statement. Here's your opportunity to let voters know anything that they would want to know about you and about your campaign, what you stand for.
Okay.
You have the floor.
Okay. For more than two decades, I've been working to improve public schools. Much of that work was done outside of the public view. Just as a when I was just a parent, like many of you, a mom who wanted my girls to have every opportunity available to them. So what's happening here in New Orleans is not an experiment to me. I'm not trying to build any models. This is personal. And I carry with me the feelings and the frustrations that I had as a parent in every meeting. But I also carry with me the hope that every parent brings with them at the start of each school year. So while I'm extremely proud of what my colleagues on the board and I have accomplished, I am not satisfied. There are so many challenges to be faced. But when you examine my record in service to not only District 4, but throughout the New Orleans area, I believe that you'll see that I'm uniquely qualified and prepared to meet them head on. If granted the opportunity to once again serve on the board, I will continue to fight for accountability, accessibility, and achievement. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm not afraid of a good fight. So I thank you again for your time and hope that you'll give me some consideration on November 6th.
Thank you so much. Coming up next, candidates from District 7. Hi, I'm Jessica Williams from The Lens, and this is the District 7 Orleans Parish School Board Candidate Forum. The Lens is teaming up with WWNO-FM to conduct these candidate forums, one for each district, to allow candidates the chance to express their views on education and to talk to each other. In this district, we have Nolan Marshall, a longtime business owner who has more than a 40-year business relationship with the public schools, Kwame Smith, a substitute teacher and former Lusher Charter School basketball coach, and Thomas Robichaud, a local attorney who is currently the president of the Orleans Parish School Board. Welcome, everybody.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I'll begin by asking a question and allowing each of you to respond. Try to keep your responses succinct. We'll conduct this somewhat like a panel discussion. Try to wait for me to recognize you before jumping in. And my first question, you know, pertains to governance. I want to know if you think schools should return to the Orleans Parish School Board as charters or as traditionally run schools. Please elaborate when responding, and Nolan, I'll allow you to go first.
I believe charters in theory are an excellent way to educate our kids. It allows for, if it's done right, it allows for community participation in the governance of the school, which would be great. Whether it's actually done that way, that remains to be seen. It's an experiment right now. I believe it has great potential, but we have to make sure that the charters are as accountable as all other schools, whether they're direct run or charter.
Kwame, you want to chime in?
I think all the schools should come back to Orleans Parish School Board. I think they should come back more as traditional schools. I think there is some room for choice. Not quite certain if I would say I agree with the charter model as it is, but what the charter model may have been initially thought of, something that's a community partnership with teachers and educators, and not so much private institutions or private businesses.
Thomas?
Well, the schools that are coming back have greatly improved. That's why they're eligible to come back. And so if they have a model that works and they're succeeding, I see no reason to mess with that model. If they're a charter, as when they're eligible to come back, then they'll stay a charter when they come back. If they're traditional when they're eligible to come back, then they'll stay a traditional when they come back.
I want to get around to the composition of the Orleans Parish School Board. Nolan, maybe we can start with you. Should school board members be elected or appointed or a mix of both?
Well, again, you know, you talk theory.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we definitely need to have elected officials as part of the equation. But I personally would like to also see some board members appointed. Those appointees should have some expertise in education. That would help balance the board. Board represent the people and the communities that they serve, and also have some appointees on the board that bring a level of expertise to the board.
And if you don't mind my asking, who would they be appointed by, or who would you prefer?
Well, you know, I think it's very important that the mayor be involved in education. I could see where the mayor could possibly have two appointees. And maybe even the city council could have two appointees. I don't have a real in-stone feeling about this. I just think that if we could develop a model with community consensus, that would give us some appointees on the board that had some expertise. I think it would help the board make some decisions.
Kwame, do you agree or disagree?
I would say that I disagree. I just think that a elected school board is fine. The seven districts, I think, are fine. Maybe we can look at maybe redistricting, maybe going to eight, you know, or maybe if we want to go down to six. It all depends on, I think, what the study or research show based upon populations here in New Orleans. But I believe that a elected school board is enough.
What about you, Thomas?
Well, I absolutely believe that the only way that any board or commission is accountable to the public, to the voters, is by being elected. We have seen time and time and time again in Louisiana, appointed board members and commission members, no matter where they are not beholden to the people, but they're beholden to the person who has appointed them. We see it all over the place in every aspect of our government. And it's very clear to me, seeing the Recovery School District, the BSEE Board, the OPSB, and the charter system, that the only real accountability is through an elected board. Now, the seven, we just went through the redistricting. We have seven members now. It's going to stay that way for the next 10 years. There was no motion or movement this last year to change that when we redistricted. I would not mind seeing the number change, but I'm very, very staunch advocate for district representation and for elected board members.
Yeah, go ahead and elaborate, Nolan.
Okay. I believe that the elected members of the board should be able to outvote any appointed positions, so that the power would still remain with the elected officials. But I do believe that it's important that the mayor share the burden of education. It's the number one issue in our community. It's the one that would impact poverty the most. It's the one that would impact crime the most. It's the one that impacts economic development the most. And I think the most powerful political position is the mayor's office and the city council. And I could see where they could appoint people from the universities that have expertise in education that could help the board make decisions concerning education. Otherwise, you have people that run for office, and sometimes they have no experience. They're professional people, but they don't understand kids. Now, I'm different because I've worked with them for 40 years. Teachers, principals, superintendents, they've all been my friends. We've talked education for the last 40 years. I've served on multiple boards, but I'm unique. I'm not the average person running for school board. Kwame is an educator, so he's unique, but we don't have very many educators that run for school board.
Thomas, to just introduce a question that I hadn't thought about before, do you think that your background as an attorney in any way, you know, hinders your ability to be able to relate to and understand the experiences?
Oh, absolutely not. I think, it's a big benefit. One, I've been through the educational system myself for not just high school and undergrad, but a graduate school as well. In addition, my entire professional career, even going back to law school, has been studying governmental operations and how government works and how it's supposed to work and how it works correctly and how it fails. And so I bring a wealth of knowledge in this area that no one has on the board or any of the candidates in any race. And it's a really unique knowledge set. And I'm one of the few people with that knowledge set in town. So I'm very happy and proud to bring that knowledge set to the board.
Okay. So my next question is specifically about the Orleans Parish School Board. What do you think are some of the things that just in the last 4 or maybe 8 years that, you know, OPSB has done well? And what do you think are some of the ways that they can improve? And Kwame, I'll start with you.
Well, first of all, I think we need to talk about what they've been doing well. Okay. Now, I haven't seen much change, in my opinion, about what we're doing well. The schools that OPSB has been running directly or even charter over the past few years has been a very small select group. And the same group that we've seen pre-Katrina that were selective and also successful during those times. So when we talk about vast improvements, I think the only area we could talk about, I guess, is when we tout the fact that we've gotten out of debt. Okay, we have a great bond rating, but when we talk about our academic achievement, you know, it's kind of relative. We want to look at the number of schools that we actually are serving and the number of schools that we do get credit for when we talk about our achievement in reference to those schools that we do directly run as the Board of Education. But when we look at all the schools in New Orleans, we talk about the improvement that we've had. It hasn't been a really large improvement. It's been some improvement, but yet still not to the level where they say that most of our schools are considered passing or failing using the rubric that we use, SPF scores and test scores. So with that being said, yes, there have been some improvement in areas, but it's very relative to when you compare what we had pre-Katrina, the type of rules and regulations we were running by then, the type of schools being neighborhood and traditional then, versus what we had more of a 90% charter model that has different ways that they handle the same situations. When we talk about admission, we talk about expulsion, we talk about movement between schools and with children and with parents, and a different type of population that we have now pre-Katrina, post-Katrina. So when we try to compare the two, sometimes we talk about apples and oranges, something I don't think many people have really, really brought out. But when we talk about where do we need to improve, that's when we really have to get into the tough work of getting down to how does this affect boots on the ground, parents and students in the community, teachers and students in the classroom. And that kind of brings us back to the question that we had before that we were talking about experiencing what type of makeup we should have of the board, the whole understanding of our way. Maybe we can appoint some people. Well, I think we should stay with elected, but I think those people on the board should have some type of experience with boots on the ground. If not everyone, some of those people on that board. So I know that, well, it might be great that you have a great set of skills and be an attorney, but that's what you hire legal counsel for the board. And, you know, with that being said, I think it's time for educators to be on the Board of Education. That's one improvement.
Okay. Well, Nolan, do you want to now respond on what do you think the Orleans Parish School Board should improve on versus what it has done well?
Well, I think they need to do a much better job of hiring a superintendent. That's where it starts. We had an opportunity to hire an excellent superintendent some years ago. Her name was Ollie Tyler. We didn't think she was talented enough to run our school system, but yet she could go and be the deputy superintendent of the whole state and be the active superintendent. Thought she should have been the superintendent for the state. I've known them all. I've had conversations with them all. And we had the same conversations. It's about career and college prep. Get our kids ready to go to work, regardless of what kind of people they are, whether they're good citizens or not. You know, we need to have a much broader conversation about what we're doing in our schools, the programs that we have for our students, and how we engage them. Will there be people that will volunteer in their community when they leave? Will there be leaders? Are we growing future leaders? We need to have a much broader conversation about education and what our educational goals are. The goals are the same for everybody, to have an excellent school in every community, so that you don't have to send your kid across the river or somewhere to receive an excellent education. But what does an excellent education mean? And that's the conversation that we haven't had, and that's the conversation that we need to have. If we did that, then when we hire a superintendent, we can actually know what skill sets that superintendent needs to bring to the table. What is that superintendent's vision for education? Does he really believe in community engagement? Does he really believe in, does he have a track record of developing the whole child? Those are the things that we need to discuss as a community. And if we did that, I think we would improve tremendously as a board.
Thomas, do you want to chime in on what do you think OPSB has done well versus what does it need to improve on?
Certainly. There's a lot of things that we've done very well. For instance, as Mrs. Smith mentioned earlier, we went from near bankruptcy to having a AA+ bond rating. This was not an easy overnight fix. This took several years of effort. We also have actually the highest rate of improvement of any district in Louisiana over time. So if you look back, if you take a look at us from the takeover of the RSD of the majority of schools and look at the rate of improvement over 5 years, 6 years, it's by far the highest rate of improvement of any district in the state. And so, you know, remember that after the RSD took over, the state took over all the schools, or most of the schools, we were still about number 25 in the state, and now we're number 2 overall. So that's a big, big jump, and that's not an accident either. You know, that took a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of concentrated, directed effort to make that happen. And it's not just because of charter schools, and it's not because of the traditional schools. It's a concerted effort. We also have a zero-tolerance anti-bullying policy that we've implemented in the last 4 years. We've updated every year. We have technology, high-tech classrooms. Every classroom is a high-tech classroom. They have smart boards. They have computers. We're moving to iPads now. They have interactive homework in a lot of the schools, and our goal has been for the last 4 years that I've been on the board to kind of outreform the reformers. You know, they said that we couldn't succeed, we couldn't fix this system, and what we've done, and they wanted us to go away. They wanted us to either be appointed or to be dissolved completely, and what we've done is be so successful at our task that they can't ignore us anymore, because we are now one of the best districts in the state. This is number 2 overall. We have the highest graduation rate in the state, highest cohort graduation rate in the state. And so we're doing a lot of things very, very well. Now, what do we have to improve on? A lot. I'm not saying we're perfect in any way, but we are so far down the right path that we really need to keep going and make sure that this continues, this improvement rate continues. If we keep this rate of improvement, we will be a nationally ranked system in the next 4 years. And that's my goal. Last 4 years ago, I promised to make us the number one district in the state. We kind of touched that ceiling, but we haven't quite past it. This time, I'm saying we're going to be a nationally ranked system in 4 years.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Nolan wants to chime in on what Thomas just said.
I like this format because you can go back and forth. Great. Better than the rest. We have schools without parent organizations. Haven't had one for the last 5-6 years. Haven't had student councils. To me, that's absolutely wrong. We do have Promethean boards in every classroom. And first, the RSD had Promethean boards in all of their classrooms right after Katrina. Wow. Then Orleans Parish said, hey, they can't outdo us. We have Promethean boards. Do you know that 80% of the Promethean boards aren't used in the schools? I mean, just throwing technology and throwing money at it doesn't solve our kids' problems. You know, Kwame and I talked the other day about how do you solve the problem of 80% of the kids coming to school unprepared to learn. Only 20% of the kids are motivated to learn. That's a huge problem that nobody talks about. And what are the answers to those? That's why I think we need to have a much broader conversation about what's going on in the schools, in the classrooms, besides just preparing them for career and college. It's more than just what goes on in the classroom and the tools and the technology that you have. And if we don't do that, then we're missing the mark, okay? And we need more time to talk about that than the half an hour we have, but...
I do want to say I don't disagree with you.
Thomas is speaking.
I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
I don't disagree with you about what your assessment there, but I want to emphasize that the system has been so tragically neglected for 50 years that we have had to go back to the basics. We had to set up our foundation, our financial foundation, and our academic foundation, and move forward from there. We had to start basically at the beginning with a lot of this stuff. And so while I don't disagree with you about how, you know, we need a more conversation about how to motivate the children and how to get the parents involved more and how to make sure that a higher percentage of them are ready to learn when they walk in the door, those are all things that we do have to work on, and we do have to converse more on that. But those are on the academic side that are under the superintendent and under the charter directors. We can only push that. We cannot mandate it. We can do it, some of it, in policy for our traditional schools, but we can't just twist. We can twist arms, but we can't force them to do it. But that is some. But as a board member, as a board, and as a board member, that's one of our duties, is to advocate and push for these things. But we have to do it in a deliberate fashion. We have to get our fundamentals correct first. You know, there's a lot of groups and a lot of clubs that don't exist at schools in this parish that I think should exist. You know, there's not 4-H, and there's not GSLs, and there's not Ag Club and FHA and FFA and these kinds of things. And these are important groups for kids to learn from, because these are not just groups that they have fun in. They learn in these groups also. And so it's very important that we get our fundamentals first, and then as we go forward with this great transformation of the school system, we work on making sure all those things fall into place correctly.
Can I move on, or did you have something you want to?
It's going to be kind of hard to move on. I sit here and I listen to my opponents, and they talk about a lot of issues, that, like you're saying, dealing with motivating kids, getting parents involved. And then I notice them made the reference to about what we cannot mandate and what we can mandate, in reference to us having what we consider traditional schools. And it creeps in, but we don't like to sit on that situation. The situation about having traditional schools versus the charter schools, which you cannot mandate much with them, except for the fact that they have to just be held accountable for performance scores. But how they get about doing it is up to them. They have that latitude in return for just making sure you bring up performance scores. But the issues that we're really having that we nearly need to talk about when we talk about engagement, we talk about the community, you got to talk about trust. People in the community do not feel that the school model that we have right now, the way it's set up, that the providers have to really engage before they make decisions. They're being told what's going to happen instead of sharing what's going to happen. And I believe this is problematic and systematic because of the system we have in place. When you talk about accountability to the community, you're talking about elected officials. Those schools don't have those elected officials, so there's no accountability to them. But all we have is a contract with maybe the BSEE board or maybe the RSD board or even the OSB board. But the point that I'm trying to make is we need to move to something that's more uniform, where we get underneath one unified school, public school district, and we have policy that affect all schools that they have to follow. Good example, the One App was a failure. The reason why it's a failure is because we're still fiddling around trying to figure out what schools got what kind of population, where they should have been, why they're not over here, and, oh, this school was supposed to be closed, but they still have room. All those questions are out there because of the model and the system we have. Going back directly to Orleans Parish would be great, number one. Number two, trying to get back to more traditional models with some choice there. How that choice is, still out to discuss, okay? But we need to get back to basics that give people in the community stability, understanding, and direction. Many people are lost, don't know what to do with their children when they get kicked out of one school. Where do I go next? What is my recourse? What's my first choice? Can I have that? And we need to change choice to chance, because we're only talking about a chance to get to your first choice that you want. Then you have a chance to get in your neighborhood, because you don't have any traditional neighborhood policy that says that you live here, you can go here. You can choose to go somewhere else, but if you live here, you go here.
You made so many good points. And I just want to go back to one point that you made about the fact that charter school boards are not elected, and the fact that, you know, they aren't held accountable, at least in that way, in the same way that the traditional school board is held accountable. And I want to know you three's thoughts on, you know, how can charter school boards work to include more of the community in their decision making? Should they be doing that? If so, is it as simple as adding a parent voice to the board? What are some of your strategies, or some of your what advice would you give to charter schools in order to go about that? Nolan, did you want to?
Well, I have a wealth of experience. I was at the table when they were going to close Joseph S. Clark High School, and I got with the Alumni Association, and we worked to keep the school open, but the school was still failing. So they were given a choice to close that they were going to close the school, or you needed to think about chartering it. Didn't have to charter, but think about it. That's when they met with the First Line group, and I was with them throughout the entire process. For me, it's always been about community involvement. And through that process, working with the alumni from the very beginning, if you were doing this to keep the school open, to feel warm and fuzzy about having some place that you could call your school, that's one thing. I don't want any part of that. If you want to keep it open so that you can be involved to help these children improve the school, then I'm with you. And they signed on, and we worked. We worked with the First Line group through a process that was facilitated by NSNO. And they came to periods with where that trust issue came up. The community wanted certain things about the finances to be reported once a month. And Jay Altman was the CEO of First Line, was, well, wait a minute, you know, how can we do this? That's too much work. And, you know, it was a trust issue. He didn't trust the people what they were going to do with the information. And when it was pointed out to him that, hey, Jay, you're here asking these people to accept you, that you're trustworthy, that you're in it for the right reasons, you have to turn around and trust the community that they're here at the table for the same reasons, to help the kids. So they were able to work together and formed a great MOU. I would invite anybody to look at the MOU between the Joseph S. Clark Community Council and the charter organization to deal with all of the issues Kwame mentioned, enrollment, retention, programs, future site, all of the things that parents or community should be involved with, they're at the table to discuss all of those issues with them. Matter of fact, the alumni president for the Joseph S. Clark High School is now on the board of First Line. That's how you get community engaged. That's how you marry them. That's theory. That's how it should work in theory. Now, whether they hire good educators and whether they educate the kids or not has yet to be seen. It's still a test. But to marry the community to the organization should be the goal, to have true community engagement so that when there are problems, that they resolve those problems together. That's the way charters are going to be successful, and that's the way schools are going to be successful. And that's what I think we need to do as a board.
Thomas, what do you think about the way charter schools can include more community, either on their boards or in their decision making?
Well, I tell you, the charter boards are supposed to be public meetings. When they meet, it's supposed to be public meetings. They're supposed to advertise them just like we're supposed to, and publicize when the meetings are and the agenda and all that stuff according to the open meetings laws. There's been a kind of a little fight because a lot of them don't want to do that. And I'm talking about not just OPSB, but RSD, all the charter groups. They're all kind of secretive in a way, you know. So
They've been resistant to it, but ours have come around, at least for the most part, they have come around to that. And that's the first step. And you've got to publish when your meetings are, and they need to be at a regular time and place. You know, our meetings is for the school board on the third Tuesday every month. The committees are the Thursday before. You know, if you don't have a regular meeting, then people don't know when to go. And if you move it around, people, you know, they forget, they don't want to go. And if you get in the habit of not knowing when it is, then you don't show up. So that's step one. The other part is I do think that there should be parental involvement on every charter board. Every single charter board should have a parent on there. And I think that it would probably be wise to have someone in the community on there, you know, from that neighborhood. If they have a neighborhood district, there should be someone representing the neighborhood on that board too, because you know there's sometimes conflicts between the schools, the charters, and the neighborhoods. Especially if there's with this all these construction projects we have going on, you know, the neighbors don't like what this design or that design or whatever. So those are two basic, pretty easy things to do. But as far as engaging the public generally, there just needs to be more outreach. There has to be more outreach by the charter boards to invite people to their meetings. But there's a paradox there, because they are charter boards, and so you have the people who are interested in that is a much smaller group in a particular charter school than the whole city, you know, or the whole parish with the school board. So you've got the parents of the kids that go there, you've got the people in the neighborhood, and you don't have a whole lot of other people that really are interested in attending those things. And that's why there needs to be more outreach, because people need to know what is going on in these charter meetings.
Okay, we have a limited amount of time left. Kwame, do you want to respond to the question?
Yeah, you asked about how we can, what would you do? What would be the plan? I think we definitely need to have those boards open up to parents, community reps, and also student reps, and put that, I would think, not on an appointment basis, but also an election basis. I think it opens up the democratic process. It reaches out and get people involved. I think engagement happens when you see that there's a true, honest opportunity for me to get involved, and it's not something that if I know the right person, I just get appointed. So that's when we talk about right at the schools. I believe that site-based management should be more than enough for any school, need be it be a traditional school or need be it a so-called charter school. The issue really is about the money. The charter provider wants to have control of the money. Since they want to have control of the money, you have to have the autonomy to go with it. So when they start talking about autonomy, they're talking about money. They can run their schools, choose their curriculum, run their school the way they see fit, but it doesn't mean that they have to have control of the money. That's why I think we should go back to an elected local school board, look to give the schools autonomy, which I think we have been doing for some time, where principals have always, in my experience of being in the school, running the school, in charge of the school, and the decision-making is made by his team, which I think should have a site-based team that includes more people from the community. So we can strengthen schools with decision-making. That's not hard to do. We can get more parents involved. That's not going to be easy, but it can be done. But the whole discussion really falls back on that whole autonomy and control of authority of money. And that's why you hear a lot of barking from charter providers not wanting to fall in line, because they want to be able to do what they want to do and not be told.
So I want to allow each of the candidates to give kind of their last impression to voters. You know, explain why people should vote for you. What makes you stand out from the opponents? Nolan, if you want to go first.
Well, you know, I bring a wealth of experience in working in the schools, actually serving on boards, parent organizations, alumni associations. I've done it all in education. With direct run charters are not going to work unless we involve the parents. I know how to do that. That's what I've been doing. But the board needs to focus more attention on it. The only you go to direct run and you have a principal that's in the school, you change the superintendent, and the superintendent comes in and change to small learning communities. Now the teachers and everybody have to learn a whole new methodology of working with kids. Change the superintendent, another superintendent comes in with a whole nother plan. Charters, I think, will give some stability to it, because if the charter lasts and it stays, it's going to have a model and it's going to keep working at it. And you can share it through the school system, school board, over the charter schools. They can share the ones that are being successful with the others. We need to be a support organization that will support them and get the parents and everybody involved in it. It's hard to explain it all in a minute and a half, but I've got some definite ideas about how to do all of those things. And I know the kind of superintendent that we need to make it work. And I want to be part of that decision-making process. Thank you.
Thomas, did you want to give your last impression?
Sure. I want to thank all the your listeners and all the online, the people watching the streaming online, for taking the time to pay attention to this important election. My name is Thomas Robichaud. I'm currently the president of the Orleans Parish School Board. I represent District 7. And I want to tell the listening public that it is so important that you turn out and vote for this in this election. We must keep the schools on the right track in this education reform movement. We must continue the upward trajectory of the schools in their rates of improvements, the graduation, the economics. Everything must continue. If they don't continue, this whole city is doomed. Education is the key to poverty, economics, crime, racism, sexism, homophobia, everything you can think of that's bad with our society. Education is the key to it. And that's our goal, is to make this the best educational system in the country.
Kwame, your last words?
Well, my last words, sir. My name is Kwame Smith. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, the 7th Ward. Born and raised here, went to public schools, taught for 17 years, and coached for 20. My experience, once again, makes it possible for me to ask for your vote, those inside my district, your support for those outside my district, to ask those to vote for me inside my district. New Orleans is a collection of neighborhoods and schools. That is our culture, in addition to jazz and music and red beans and gumbo. But the bottom line is, vote for someone who has experience inside and outside the classroom, who's walked with you, that understands you. That's what you need on the board. Someone who can fight for you and knows your plight and knows your pain. That's all I'm saying. Number 94, Kwame Smith.
Thank you all so much for coming. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.